gold as well. Now, this morning, I want to share with you about when Jesus was on earth. When Jesus was on earth, he often preached by telling stories about earthly events that had eternal implications. The Bible calls those parables. And in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14, we find Jesus sharing one of these parables. Now, that is on page 876 in the Bibles in front of you. And I gave you that page because I want you to attempt to follow along today. Because today, I'm going to take that parable and I'm going to reword it. I'm going to shift it around a little bit. And I'm going to do what I can do to make that parable very relevant to our church. Okay? To make it very relevant to you and what God is wanting to do in our life. So, in verse 14 of chapter 25 in Matthew, we find that God's kingdom is a lot like this, Jesus said. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, far away from heaven to a place called earth. And while he was there, he visited a group of his believers at Bethel Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And Jesus called all those believers at Bethel together, and he gave them, every one of them, everyone individually, he gave very great privileges. He gave them all great abilities, but he also gave them all great responsibilities. To three believers in particular, Jesus gave special abilities to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, that good news that if believed, people could have a relationship with God and not be eternally separated from him. So then in verse 15, we find that to one of these believers, Jesus gave five spare hours a month. Five spare hours a month. To the second believer, he gave two spare hours a month. And then to a third believer, he gave one spare hour a month. And then Jesus returned to heaven. Now, in verse 16, we find that immediately, the Bethel member to whom Jesus gave five spare hours, he began to work hard. He began to use those five spare hours to share the good news. And you're not going to believe it, but soon he made five more disciples. Then in verse 17, we find that the Bethel member, whom Jesus gave two spare hours a month, we find that he also went to work. And he used those hours to share the good news. And you're not going to believe what happened. He made two more disciples. And then we read there in verse 18 that the Bethel member to whom Jesus gave 1 hour a month, he decided he was just going to stay home. He decided he was going to stay home in his spare time, that he was going to use that extra time for selfish things, and that he was never going to share Jesus Christ. And as a result, you won't believe what happened. He didn't make one single disciple. So there in verse 19, not long after that, Jesus returned to take his disciples home to heaven. And he called those three believers together to give an account of the life they had been living. He wanted to know, how you been using the spare time that I gave you? And in verse 20, we read that the Bethel member, whom Jesus had given five spare hours, said, Lord, you gave me five spare hours, and I used those hours to pray for those on our prayer list. I used that time to minister to those in need, and I used that time to share the good news that you had died on the cross for the sins of mankind, and that you defeated the grave for those who trust in you for heaven. And you won't believe, Lord, what happened. 5 lost people were added to your kingdom. In verse 21, the Lord was rather excited. And he said, man, I'm just praising. I am so full of praise for you. And he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. Now I'm going to give to you in proportion to how you already used what I gave you. Now, why don't you just come on and enter into the joy of the Lord and let's celebrate and rule together. Then in verse 22, the Bethel member to whom Jesus gave 2 spare hours said, Lord, you gave me 2 spare hours every month, and I use those hours to pray for those who are on our prayer list. I use those hours to minister to those who are in need and to share the good news that you died on the cross for the sins of humanity. You defeated the grave for those who believe in you for heaven. And Lord, you won't believe what happened. 2 lost people were added to your kingdom. Oh, the Lord was so full of praise for this Bethel member. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Man, you have done well. I'm going to give you more in proportion to how you used what I gave you. Come on, enter into the joy of the Lord. Let's celebrate and rule together. And then in verse 24, that Bethel member who Jesus had given 1 spare hour said, Lord, I knew that you had really high, lofty standards for your people. I knew that you demand our best. I knew that, but for me, it was just too much responsibility. You don't understand how busy I've been. And so, frankly, Lord, I just used that spare hour the way I wanted to use it. And in verse 26, the Lord was furious. And the Lord said, that is a terrible way to live your life. It is criminal for a believer of mine to live in such a self-centered way. I gave you a spare hour every month, and you wouldn't use it to honor me? The least you could have done was prayed for others. The least you could have done was pray for those who were serving. You're just wicked and lazy. Verse 28, Jesus said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all the spare hours that I gave you over these past months, and I'm going to give those hours to those who were faithful. But as for you, you are obviously not a disciple of mine. It's obvious to me that you talk a big game, that you go through the motions, that you give me lip service. But when it comes down to you practicing what I preach, no, you're no different than an unbeliever. Jesus said, you remember what I said. When I said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. What's required for a serious obedience? You're a child of mine. You're a servant of the Most High God. It's required that you obey what the Father wills. And listen, the Father's will is this, that none perish, but that all turn from their wicked ways and be saved. That's the Lord's will. And he uses us to accomplish that. And in verse 30, the Lord said, you claim to be my disciple, but all you did was spend what I gave you for yourself. Depart from me. You're out of here. See, many Christians speak of their desire to hear the words of Jesus say to me, say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few, in many things, or in a few things, and now I'm going to make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And in that earthly story that I slightly modified, amen, in that earthly story that has eternal implications, the Lord Jesus himself has a lot to say about how you and I can make sure that we hear those wonderful words, well done. Now, a couple of weeks ago at homecoming, I preached a message that highlighted the number two. You may remember that. And I highlighted that because there are two ways to spend eternity. You can spend it in heaven or you can spend it in hell, and really it is your choice. It highlights two ways to build a life. You can build it on the rock or the shifting sand of the temporary world. There are two ways to die. You can die with Christ or you can die without. And there are two choices to consider. Am I saved? Am I born again? Or am I lost? But today, I want to emphasize a different number. I want to emphasize the number three. And in that, I want to emphasize three excuses, three expectations, and then three promises. Let me begin with these three excuses. Now, how many of you know that some people have more brains than others? Y'all all got more brains than me, amen. Some people have more abilities than others. Some have more strength than others. Some have more health than others. And some have more money than others. I wish I had Hal's money. I'd burn mine, amen. Hallelujah. But here's something we all have. Every single one of us are given opportunities by God to serve him. Every one of us. And every day you breathe, you are given by God these divine opportunities to serve him. Have you ever heard that little song? I can do anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you. James says, I can't. Well, you know what? That's a real cute song, but it ain't got true words in it. That's not true. Because there's no single individual who can do everything. We can't do everything. We can only do what God has equipped us to do. Almighty God has invested abilities. He's invested talents in you and in me that he wants us to use. So, to start comparing yourself with somebody else, that ain't going to cut it. That's no excuse. For example, when I used to listen to Billy Graham preach, I used to say, man, I wish I could preach like Billy Graham. But I realized I can't preach like Billy Graham. Man, I'll never be that good of a preacher. But then it dawned on me. Billy Graham can't preach like me either. For better or for worse. He can't preach like me either. Almighty God could have used anything he wanted to make another me. But he didn't. He could have made another you, but he didn't. And therefore, because he didn't make another you, you're the only one of your kind. God expects you. He encourages you to make sure that you know it's your duty to use what God has given you to the best of your ability, to use all the talents and all the gifts you've been given. Now, Almighty God made me, and Almighty God invested those talents in me, and he expects me to use them. Please know that what God has invested in you, he expects you to use. And if you don't use it, then there's a certain degree of disobedience, maybe even a little bit of rebellion there. So I want to encourage you. Now, here's one big excuse that some Christians use. They say, well, God hasn't given me anything to do. That's what they think. See, many Christians act like they can't do nothing, but that's just an excuse. And this parable clearly shows us that each one of those servants was given God's goods. The things which they were given there by God, delivered to them, invested in them. Look in verse 14 one more time. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a faraway country who called his own servants, but get this, and delivered his goods to them. Those abilities you got, they're not yours. Those are God's abilities. Those talents and gifts you got, they're not yours. Those are God's abilities. You're the manager. You're the steward. And so we need to make sure that we understand that the goods we're given, the abilities we're given, we use faithfully to the Lord. Now, also I want to encourage you to remember that the gifts that you're given are just not yours. They are just not yours. You see, you were created for ministry to others. Did you know that? You were created for ministry to others. Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You were created for ministry. But not only were you created for ministry, friend, you were also saved, born again for ministry. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, it is God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Friend, you were created for ministry. You were saved, born again for ministry to others, but you were also gifted for ministry. Peter wrote it like this in 1 Peter 4:10. He said, each one has received a gift. Each one. He's writing to churches here. Each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as a good steward, as a good manager of the manifold grace of God. Listen, friends, God has given us all plenty to do. We were created, saved, and gifted for ministry. But a second excuse that I've heard people use before is, well, I can't do as much as so-and-so. I can't do as much as them. Well, notice that in the parable, each one was given a different amount of spare time. There in verse 15, Jesus said, and to one he gave five talents, to other two, to another one, to each, listen, according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. So God's not going to ask you whether or not your neighbor used his gifts properly. He's going to ask you whether you used what he gave you properly. You can't use that excuse. He wants to know, are you faithful with what I've given you, not your neighbor? So you can't compare yourself with somebody else. Here's the third excuse that I've heard. But God just asks too much. God asks too much. Look in verse 24. Then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you'd be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. In verse 26, the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew it, and you still didn't use it. That servant dishonestly blamed God, but God revealed the truth. See, many people become Christians without counting the cost. They become a child of God, but they don't count the cost of what it's going to cost them after they're saved. Then when Jesus says, hey, you need to deny yourself, you need to follow me, then they say, well, that's just too much. I can't do that. But listen, all that is nothing but just a film. They're just excuses, and the Lord sees past all of those. Those three excuses, they'll never fly in the presence of God. But then we find that the Lord gives three expectations. So what exactly is it that Jesus expects from us? I mean, if he didn't have something for us to do after we were saved, where would we be? We'd be in heaven, right? But we're still here because Jesus has something that he wants us to do. What is it? Well, one thing that Jesus expects us to do is to make disciples. To use everything about us to make disciples. See, it's not enough to just be faithful after you're saved. You also got to be fruitful. You got to be fruitful when you're saved. And he's promised to give us all the help we need if we'll just decide that we're going to be fruitful. Remember that the branches bear the fruit, but it's the vine that produces the fruit. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. So saying that you're faithful, coming in and clocking in on Sunday morning, without being fruitful on Monday morning, is not real faith, is it? Jesus expects us to make disciples. But Jesus also expects us to do what he asks. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you're going to make a disciple, you better be one. If you're going to make a disciple, you got to be a disciple. So are you simply going through the motions of Christianity? I mean, are you simply showing up on Sunday and calling that faithfulness? Faithfulness is not just showing up. It's actually obeying Jesus all the rest of the days. Are you worshiping on Sunday but not living it on Monday? Do you find yourself being convicted by the Word of God but being unwilling to respond to the Word of God? I want to encourage you, friend, count the cost. It ain't easy. Count the cost of being the Lord's servant, but also count the cost of, listen, of not being the Lord's servant. Can you imagine what that servant that only had the one spare hour that he didn't use for God's glory felt like? Yeah, he was saved. But man, he kind of took a tongue lashing from the Lord, didn't he? I know it's just a parable, but boy, I can hear it. I can hear it just as clear as a bell. Here's the third expectation. Jesus expects us to seize our God-given opportunities. When Jesus speaks to that unfaithful servant, it reminds me of what he said to the other servants. Because it reminds me that the other servants took advantage of the opportunities that God gave him. To the one who was given five spare hours, he used them. Five lost people into the kingdom of heaven. Two extra hours, two lost people. How many people go throughout their entire Christian life and don't make a single disciple? The Lord says, I want you to be out there, and I want you to be using what I gave you for the glory of my Father. Be out there and using what I've given you. Are you? He expects us to seize the opportunities we're given. And let me tell you something. Every single day of your life, you are given an opportunity to glorify God. Are you faithful and fruitful in that? So that's three excuses and that's three expectations. But now let me give you some more good news. Amen. Let me share with you three promises. Christ's expectations don't come without rewards for obedience. There are rewards for obedience. Let me give you three very quickly. I can't imagine the joy that I may feel if Jesus says to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. If that was the only reward, I'd take it hands down. the joy of hearing the Lord say, well done. But there's also the joy of ruling with Christ. Notice what he said to those ones that were rewarded in verse 21. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. That means that the Lord has seen my efforts. He's seen my faithfulness. He's seen my fruitfulness. And he says, you know what? That is worthy to be used over many things in my kingdom. You see, heaven's not going to be a bunch of harp playing and cloud hopping. We're going to be serving the Lord up there. And to think that the Lord, through my faithfulness and my fruitfulness, just might make me ruler over many things because he's seen the intensity in which I want to obey him. I'm not saying that I'm there by no means. I'm just saying if I could get to that place as a Christian. But there's also another reward, and that is the invitation of entering into Christ's joy. Y'all, I have been joyful many times in my life. But I cannot imagine for a moment what the joy of the Lord is like. All I know is that far surpasses anything that I have ever experienced on this planet. I can't imagine what the joy of the Lord is going to be in the presence of Almighty God for all eternity. And that's made available to every one of us as servants of God. You see, our talents and our abilities, they're a lot like seeds. You plant a seed, well, then you got to nourish it, you got to water it, and then if you'll do that faithfully, it'll multiply. It'll multiply. But if you take that same seed, and you just set it up here on the shelf, it'll die. What are you doing with the gifts you've been given? What are you doing with the gifts you've been given? This morning, I want you to know that you have been blessed by God to invest for God. You've been blessed by God to invest for God. And I pray that today you'll carefully count the cost and that you will commit to be all that God has created you to be. Now, for some today, that may mean that you need to commit your life to Christ. That's the first step to hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant. Friend, we need not only a profession of words, we need a possession in our soul. And I pray that when you leave this place this morning, you will know that you have a possession of the Lord Jesus Christ, and more importantly, that he possesses you. And the way that you're going to know that is by how you use what God has given you. You consider that during this decision time, and let me pray for you. Lord in heaven, I praise you and thank you for even bothering to give us gifts, abilities, and talents. But Lord, being that you have, your word is clear that you intend for us to use them for your glory. Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, help us spiritually to be fruitful. And Lord, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus today that if there's one that's here today that's had enough, they realize that today it's time for them to commit their life to Christ. Lord, I pray that they would use this decision time to respond to your word. Lord, this can be someone that has never accepted Jesus before. But Lord, the committing of the life to Christ can also be one that's already accepted Christ as their Savior. But they just realize today that they've been using excuse after excuse after excuse, ignoring the expectations of our Savior. If we ignore those expectations, those promises of hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant, You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. They'll never hear it. Speak to us, Lord, as only you can. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen. Let's all stand. Let's sing.